Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Emerge. I hope you're ready to sing some Christmas songs this morning. It's gonna be good. You are the greatest prize. We worship you, God. We just set our hearts on you this morning. It's all about you. And oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us
come. Thank you.
Picturing God as like the greatest gift giver, and I just picture him just kind of like holding out a present to everyone here this morning, and I just keep thinking about how much our gifts just like pale in comparison to his gifts and who he is. And so yeah, I just encourage you this morning to just even just picture God, just picture him giving you a gift. Doesn't matter how you've been, he's so generous. You are the prize.
Let's pray together this morning. God, in the midst of our busy lives, in the midst of all the noise, we just stop this morning and we look at you. In the midst of all the things that need to be done for Christmas, amidst all the things that we're thinking about and worried about, our lives can become so cluttered. But this morning we take time to focus our eyes on you, to thank you for who you are, for what you've done, to put you in your rightful place as first. And God, our desire is not to fit you into a window on Sunday morning. Our desire is not to fit you into the slots that you're convenient, but that our lives revolve around being faithful to your call in our lives. So we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this church family. We thank you for your beautiful, amazing gifts in each of our lives. We thank you that you continue to pursue us, regardless of what our week has looked like. And we just open our hearts to you this morning and ask that you speak to each one of us. Prepare our hearts this morning, God. Keep us soft. Would you speak to each of us in this room this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Why don't we take up our offering this morning as well? And can we give our worship team a hand? So good. Meg, you always bring it. I love it. It's so good. You make it easy. Good morning. You know what? Before I actually get started, I've had something on my heart kind of since last night, and so I just want to take 30 seconds. For those of you who were here last week, obviously it was a bit of a heavier message, I guess, and not the easiest to deliver nor the easiest to receive. And I found it so beautiful this week through conversation with Todd and with different people is that, of course, through my lens, through the way that I see life from where I am, I see it from the perspective of somebody who will have grandkids eventually, right? Like, that's just my scope. That's where I'm at. And so I'm speaking from the place of, here's where I am, here's where I want to be, how do I get there? And of course, when I speak, a lot of the time my mind is, how do I speak to the youth and how do I speak to young adults to say, this is where you want to be, this is what's going to set you up for success for your grandkids, how do we do that well? And then people say to me, yeah, but I already have grandkids. And I'm like, How did I not even think of that? Like, it doesn't even cross my mind to think there's people in the room that are receiving it from a totally different lens, from a totally different perspective of life. And then I think back through everything that I said and everything that I did, and I'm like, shoot. You know? Because it takes on a different persona. It takes on a different message completely when you're in a different stage of life. But I think it's beautiful when I'm able to come and share a message like that, share what God puts on my heart, practice my gifts and where I feel God has led me to speak from, and not feel worried about it, not feel stressed about it, not feel like people are going to judge me or are going to send me hate mail because I've confronted them, right? I love it that I can be with family, I can be in a place like this and know that I feel free, I feel encouraged, I feel a lack of weight on me, I don't feel an expectation that I have to fill something. Nor do I feel like I need to have fear in delivering what God's put on my heart. And I just want to say thank you for that, where sometimes it doesn't even register in my mind that there's actually grandparents in the room that are thinking back and like, yeah, I did those things, I opened those doors, and maybe my grandkids walked through them, right? And honestly, those things don't even register for me. But I thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that and share my heart and leave you with a message that probably wasn't easy for either of us, for either side of it. But I think it's beautiful when we can do that together as a family, and I can trust you in that, and hopefully you can trust me in that. So thank you for that. I appreciate it. We're just going to go through a few announcements this morning before Todd comes. If you're new with us this morning, thank you for joining us. It's so good to have you. Oh, I love this season. It's so good. We got our Christmas tree up this week, and there's presents under it, and it feels so good. We got a real Christmas tree, too. It smells so good. Anyways, it's good to have you. And we have these belong cards kind of all around the room. It's just a way for us to get to know who you are and help you to get plugged into the life of the church here. So if you want to fill one of those out, there's a box around the corner, and we've got a gift for you. So thank you for joining us this morning. It's good to have you. Announcements coming up. We got Youth Christmas Party on Friday. I'm excited. So it's Friday, not Thursday, so that students can stay later and don't have to worry about school the next day. Cost is $10. We will have dinner and bounce castles and a lot of prizes and fun, and I'm very excited. It's going to be good. We got ladies' event coming up on the 10th. That's this week. That's in like 2 days. There we go. Sign up today. Well, today's the last day. There you go. So sign up today. There's sign-up sheets at the back for the events coming up. We've got a men's event coming up on the 15th, men's curling. There we go. So join us for that. It's right after church on that Sunday, so pretty much we'll finish church, eat, and go. Next Sunday, so the same day, the 15th, is the children's play. So there will not be a message, or it won't be the normal service, but it will be children's play next week. So invite family, and we'll have an amazing time celebrating our little kiddos next week. Cool? And on the 24th, we have candlelight service as always, so I believe that's a Tuesday night. I'll be speaking this year, so I'm excited about that. It'll be good, and so join us for that. It's only an hour service, and then, of course, we'll have apple cider and all those goodies afterwards, so looking forward to that. That's all I got, Pastor Todd.
Thank you, thank you. Well, good morning. Good to have you all here. Come to our candlelight service. It's better than any other church's candlelight service, so come to ours. It's the best. I'm kidding. They're all fantastic. And it's great for the body of Christ, the family of God, to come together and enjoy Jesus on candlelight evening and just rally together, and there's nothing like it. Well, it's a delight to have everyone here. I'm Pastor Todd, and I see there's some guests here. Can we welcome our guests today? Fantastic, fantastic. If you want to fill out that belong card, we've got a beautiful gift, a coffee from Timber that is yours as well. But, yeah, so just fill it out in the back in that little booth area thingamadooder, bobbly, boobly thing right there, and do that immediately following the service. We're going to do something today, something that's been burning on my heart for a couple of weeks. I was going to call the message More from 100 Feet. And then I thought, you know what, there's probably copyright issues and there's license infringements and all that sort of stuff. So I thought, no, I can't do that. What I have to do is just call it what it, I feel is a good word. And can you trust your feelings? Can you trust your feelings in our happy ho-ho season? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. Yeah. Not one horse. You can have a couple there, kind of romantic. Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. Let me kind of set up this morning, and I'm really excited about this because I don't know how many people have heard of Judah Smith, a preacher from Seattle. Okay, about 15 of us. The reason I love Judah Smith is because he is more excitable, and he's more hyper, and he's more animated than even me. So please, yeah. Oh, no, not more. Not more. Someone's saying, oh, not more. So please do not be terrified by Judah Smith. It's just a one-off. But he preached a message a couple of years ago called Don't Follow Your Feelings, and it so coincides what I feel God is doing here. And this five-minute portion goes so perfectly with the message. Now, this is a message that could work anytime. It's a yes and amen always. But oh, my goodness, in the season of Happy Ho-Ho, and all things merry and bright. But I'm also reminded, like Rob just alluded to, the other side of the, this is a good Christmas for us. This is a good season for us. I had a great November. I'm having a great December. But for many, it's not. And for some, it's all things black and painful. All things disappointing.
all things hard. So we want to be mindful of that. And so watch this, and then I'm going to finish up with what God has. Let's enjoy it together. Give me some lights, please. Now, there's one thing you got to do right now. You have to be as excited about my preaching as you are about Judas right now. Okay? Because I'm an insecure man, and I need that applause. I feel it right now. I feel it. And we have to be as loud and as ambitious as his church in that video. Amen? Amen. Now, here's where we want to. I'm going over this for a fourth or fifth time, and I'm realizing, gosh, that really, outside of the tail end of this message, is so cool. So I'm going to navigate pretty quickly through lots of it until we get to the very, very end. Now, you got to remember something else as well. Judah Smith, his dramatic pause is right there, leaving us hanging, and as Barry Miracle used to say, hear what he's saying, don't hear what he's not saying. And if I feel what I want to feel, and I don't, man, guy, can that guy talk? And it almost made sense. He's not saying feelings are intrinsically evil. He's saying, or I will say, that there is a principle above feelings. Now, if you guys were in Sunday school back in the 60s and 70s, you saw that poster in your Sunday school class, and it was a picture of a train. And the picture of the train was that truth, that God led the train. He was the engine. And feelings were at the very back, called the caboose. And then I realized that 40, 50, 60, 70% of you don't even know what a caboose is, because we don't have them anymore. The caboose is at the very end. And feelings are fine, but they're not everything. Now, here's the message today. As Christians, we must champion the truth. The truth is mandatory. The truth is awesome. We have to live its validity. If it feels good, do it. Diabolical. As the top essence of life. The world elevates feelings and experiences as the greatest quality. And what is important, truth, character, honor, as a distant second, if not nothing at all. If not at all. Now, I realize right now I'm going to share a couple of things. And everyone under 55 or 60 won't have a clue what I'm talking about. But I'm going to educate you. Richard, I'm going to educate them. And Richard, you're going to jump and you're going to shout right now in this next sentence. You're going to jump and you're going to shout. There's a few other people that in this room are going to jump and shout, but don't get too, because you don't want your feelings to rule you, okay? All right. Paul Henderson, who's, yeah, yeah, okay, yes, come on, 1972 Russia-Canada Summit Series. Oh my, the greatest experience in Canadian history. That game 7 or 8 or 30th or whatever it was. And Paul Henderson scores that goal, and that leap, that roar, that triumphant shout echoed across Canada. Yes, just like that. 47 years ago. 47 years ago. Can you imagine? The greatest sporting achievement in Canadian history to that point. Now, hear this. Paul Henderson, a beautiful Christian man that used and lived his life in principles all of his life in hockey, was quoted later to say, I never want to be that high ever again. It almost destroyed my life. Because with the highs comes the inevitable lows, the disillusionment, the now what. Has anyone other than me lived in there? After a high, the crash and burn low. After the euphoric, I can't believe it couldn't get any better, manic experience, and then the inevitable crash afterwards. Am I the only one? I don't think so. There's 17 of us. Amen. Feelings are fleeting. Somebody say that. Feelings are fleeting. They come, they go. We need something. We need an anchor that's larger than a thrill or an experience. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to rock this entire room right now, because as spirit-filled, charismatic Christians, get ready for this next sentence. Get ready for it. Here it comes. We need something that's bigger than an experience, even if that experience is with God. We have to have more. You got to be anchored in God, not just have an experience from God. Because people that experience God, it doesn't necessarily mean that they know God. It's just that they've had an experience with God. We need to have that deep place of knowing Him. In fact, the Bible says that the kingdom of God is to know Him, John 17:3. The kingdom of God is to know Him. It's the confidence, it's the anchor that leaves our lives. And Paul penned, not Paul Henderson, Paul the apostle penned, I know whom I have believed. I know who I have believed. I'm journeying with Him. I'm walking with Him. I'm living with Him. In the midst of my highs, in the midst of my lows, I'm walking with Him. When it hurts, I'm with Him. When it's euphoric, I'm with Him. And He never leaves. Because I am convinced, Paul said, I am convinced that He's able to keep me until He returns. Come on, slugger! Follow your heart. I love that line. Should we follow our heart? Somebody say, heck no. Now, whirlwind tour. Tammy's life message, her life scripture. Trust the Lord completely and don't lean on your understanding or your feelings. Don't lean on your feelings. Don't lean on your feelings. Trust Him exclusively, and He will direct your path. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is my strength and my portion. Did you hear that? God is my strength and my portion, because our heart will fail. God will guard my heart and mind. Why? Because I can't. I can't guard my heart and mind. God will. Test me, Jesus. Test me, Lord, and try me. You examine my heart, Jesus, not me. I'm not going to examine my own heart. I'm not going to look in and examine for 3 months. I'm going to let You examine my heart, Jesus. I'm going to let You reveal to me how I got to change. Examine my heart and mind. Jeremiah 17:9, he alluded to it, Judah alluded to it. The Bible says that the heart is fragile. It's deeply sick. It's desperately wicked. There's no way to fix the heart. Rather, Jesus wants us to have a new heart. Jesus came that we can have a new heart, a Christ-focused heart. We want to get rid of this heart, put on a new heart. Now, what is the answer then, in closing? I'm just kidding. I'm not closing. You don't follow your heart, what do you follow? It's the Sunday school answer. Come on. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. See, Jesus said He was the way, the truth, and the life. You know, it's interesting how over the centuries, over the decades, we've had different terms on what it means to be a Christian. We used to be, back in the original, first century Christian, they were part of the way. Are you in the way? I'm in the way. Are you in the way? I'm in the way. Well, get out of the way. I'm in the way. And then, you know, back in the 40s, it was get saved, brother. Are you saved, brother? Are you saved, brother? And then, of course, in the 80s, 70s and 80s, it became you're born again. Got to be born again. Got to be born again Christian. Not a Christian, a born again Christian. I like what we use now, other than It's follower of Jesus. I like that. I follow Jesus. It's every day I choose to follow him. I'm going where he goes. I'm doing what he does. It's kinetic. I'm following Jesus. Not just that I believe in some sort of tenet of faith. Not just that I go to church and can recite the apostolic creed. But I'm actually following in love and following Jesus Christ. Brother Comont shared this radical, incredible message with us a couple, 3 years ago. When the Israelites' armies were under siege and the enemy was on every side, this declaration became one of the great Christian battle cries. When we don't know what to do, Jesus, my eyes are on you. Put that in your phone. When I don't know what to do, I do what feels good. No, when I don't know what to do, Lord, my eyes are on you. I'm locking eyes with you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 20:12. And the passage this morning that I want to preach is from 3 Hesitations 1:6, and it's entitled, If It Feels Good, Do It. Good night, everybody. You're beautiful. Pastor just said I could do whatever I wanted. Hallelujah. No. Actually, it's two things. There is absolutely no freedom. In fact, like Judah says, it is misery letting feelings be number one. I'm going to talk lots about this. It's kind of cool. So stay with me. It's actually a scripture that I'm going to preach today. And it won't be too long, but it's a scripture that we love to half quote. And I did a sermon back a couple years ago about all of the misquotes, all the scriptures that we like half of it. And this is one of those scriptures that we like half of it. Brother, the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. Like it's a magic wand that you swing and it fixes everything. The truth. You just get that truth pill and wham, everything's perfect. Well, interesting what it actually says. In context, reading it in its portion, John 8:31-32. Jesus said to the people who believed him, who followed him, or who were born again, who were saved, who were in the way, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching. You notice there's no feeling there? You're my disciples if you feel really good, and if you come to church and have a good time feeling good. Feeling groovy, actually. Does anybody remember feeling? Oh, okay. No, forget it. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's what it says. And John goes on and quotes Jesus some more, and Jesus said in a couple of chapters later, John 14:23, he said, those that love me can feel me all the time. Feelings. Nothing. I'm not going to go there. No, it says they obey me. Now, think of it this way, and this is actually very cool, and you can put this in your phone as well. This is quotable. This is tweetable. Tam, this is tweetable. It's actually to the portion of the truth you apply is to the portion of your life that's free. It's actually what it means. To the portion of your life that you have actually accessed his truth, are walking in his truth, are yielding into his truth, that is the portion that is free. It's not an easy collect $200. Do not pass go, whatever the monopoly thing is. Okay, here we go. I see your sour faces. I see them, and it makes me feel very bad. I came here for a good time. I came here to sing some Christmas carols and to get some coffee and to feel good inside and to go home. And you and Rob, you give us these intense messages. Aren't you a killjoy? I'm not singing Christmas carols at your house. And you're not getting shortbread this Christmas. It's not going to happen. You're a big meanie, Pastor Todd. Now, let's have some fun, or at least let's explain some stuff. I am probably one of the most feely guys you'll meet. And everybody that knows me says, I am not a sober as a judge stuffed shirt. I like my feelings. You've probably already gathered that. I'm a touchy-feely guy. It made it difficult in our marriage for probably the first 33 years. Hallelujah. But it will get better. I know it will. But see, feelings is part of who I am. Feelings, unlike some of you that are very cerebral, but feelings is a very critical part of the essence of who I am. But here is the game changer. Read it. Put it in your book. I've learned to enjoy my feelings. I like my feelings. It works well for me, but I don't trust my feelings. Now, let me just help you here this morning. Okay? Is everybody ready? Are you ready? Okay, here it goes. Are you ready? If you're a touchy-feely person, you married a non-touchy-feely person. If you're a non-touchy-feely person, you married a touchy-feely person. It's just the way it is. Little Bruce Hornsby for you, Ryan. There you go. That's the way Jesus made it, because he wants us frustrated until we go to heaven. Hallelujah. Opposites attract. Opposites drive each other nuts. But you know what? Jesus put that in the universe so that we will grow and learn and mature and understand someone that's different than you. I don't trust them. I love them. But you know, feelings have let me down a lot. Three nervous breakdowns, feelings have let me down a lot. Don't laugh at that. That's disgusting. Feelings got me in a lot of trouble. I've learned, I've matured not to let them run my life. They're a great companion when I'm on my game, but I won't let them take me out when they're not. Great feelings are great. Great feelings are great. Bad feelings are bad. You can write that one down. That's my quote. I came up with it this week. Isn't that beautiful? Great feelings are great. Bad feelings are bad. There's a problem here. The whole situation is, guess what? They're feelings. Okay, I got some quotes here. Will blow your mind. I wish they were mine, but get ready for it. Landon Dorsch was here with Josh Fry back a few weeks, a couple months ago now. And Josh had the opportunity, we had the opportunity to sit under his ministry on the Sunday in the leadership with the worship team. Fantastic. And it blew my mind. He came up with these quotes. And again, this was percolating even a couple of months ago. And he says this stuff when he's leading and teaching and instructing the worship team. And he said, feelings are great supporting cast members, but they're terrible lead actors. Somebody say, oh my. That's huge. Feelings, they're great, but don't let them lead. Values give us direction when we can't trust our feelings. And then Landon went on to say this, when you don't know what to do, like the scripture, we do what we know. You hear me? When you don't know what to do, when you haven't heard that definitive word about, should I eat that cherry pie with ice cream and whipped cream, 4, 5, 6 pieces, and then go to bed and hate myself? Should I do that? Yes. I have so overeaten in the last week and a half. It's sick. And I feel guilty and feel awful every time after I eat myself into unconsciousness. Okay? Now, Nick, I know, and I've quoted you many times, eat until you hate yourself. Amen. And I've used that. And you know what? Friday night, I hated myself. I'm not going to lie to you. This is his last quote. Feelings are like coloring. When we color outside of the lines, chaos. When we color inside the lines, beautiful. Oh, come on. I wish it was mine. Like I said, I wish it was mine. You see, in boundary, in borders, in submission, when, I mean, you can understand. You can figure out the illustration. Align yourself with Jesus, the Word, the truth. And as a glorious companion, we feel and experience His love. Wow. I'm going to say that one again. That's good. Align yourself with Jesus, His Word, the truth, the cerebral King of glory. And as a glorious companion, you can feel and you can experience His love. And the love that you feel can transform your life, but it's in companionship with knowing Him. Jesus wants you to experience Him. I expected a bigger shout than that. You're probably scared because, you know, as soon as you say that, pastor's going to rip a strip off me. This is true. And I want a loud amen. Jesus wants you to experience His love. Bountiful heart. And He will say nothing that contradicts His word. God told me to shoot my neighbor. You heard that one, didn't you? Okay, yeah. Yeah, no. That was not from Jesus, just so you know. Jesus did not, would never say that. Jesus told me to hate my spouse. Would never say that because it doesn't line up in agreement with His Bible. Now, I'm going to bring this thing home in semi-close. Semi-closing. I've been teased the odd time for closing 5 times. In closing. Okay. Oh, no. Stop. Forget that. I'm going to bring this home, and I've already alluded to it. We're going to bring this home to, I was going to say Gospel Chapel. Silly me. Emerge Church 2019. As charismatic Christians, there's a few charismaniacs in this room. A few of us. I will say me included. We're very, very susceptible to this. Please hear me. Again, hear what I'm saying. This is the qualifying, Rob, right? This is the qualifying. Hear what I'm saying. Don't not hear what I'm not saying. I feel it. I sense it. It must be God. Not one amen after that one. Careful, church. Careful. Test your feelings. Don't trust your feelings. The Bible says test the prophetic things. Test those sensory things. Test them. Have accountability with people when it comes to our feelings. We will mature in this. Our feelings and what we sense, like the rest of us, must submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Somebody say that's true. Has to. But when there's accountability in Christ's submission, now you'll love me again. Then what we sense can be very, very useful and very important for the body of Christ. Did you get that order? Truth, sensory. Truth, sensory. It works that way. I have learned to submit to truth first, feelings later. I'm going to share a couple of stories and then I will close. 2008. Be prepared, Tammy. Be afraid. Be very afraid. Things were going extremely well at our church. We were going to 2 services, things were going like gangbusters. The Spirit of God was so strong. It was beautiful. Desert Stream was on fire, and we were having a good time. We were riding the wave. Church was growing month after month. Things were growing, and somebody didn't like it. His name is the devil. He doesn't like when God's church is prospering. And I remember I came to this service, don't know the month, but I remember very clearly, I have it in my journal, my personal journal, 2008 is the year from hell. And I come into the service and I'm feeling black, I'm feeling dark, something's not right. I motioned to Tammy. I said, Tammy, it's one of those, do you feel it? Do I feel it? Do you feel it? I knew something was wrong. I knew something was very wrong. I found out later that day and that week that our drummer was having an affair, and he was going to go public with it, leaving his wife. And that started the avalanche. That started the avalanche. But I believe God spoke to us, prepared us, and I believe that our prayers from sensing it was the thing that kept us and fortified our borders and kept us in the midst of this moral failure avalanche. You remember now? One family after another, after another, after another. And we prayed and we fasted and we said, enough, not on our watch. Not on our watch. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard. Somebody say amen. Do you remember the Atkinsons that were here? A prophet with YWAM. They're here and we're enjoying them incredibly for 5 months, drinking from their ministry. They were speaking words over us. Both of them were speaking here. It was awesome. We begged them. I was on my hands and knees begging them to stay. But they said, no, our calling, we're going back to Fiji, wasn't it? Or Hawaii? Or can you imagine? Anyway, that couldn't have been God. It couldn't have been God. Anyway, he says he was leaving the Tuesday, and the Sunday he was leaving, he says, Todd, I am sober about this. I'm sorry, but I can't shake it. And I got to tell you, I would do a great disservice to you and to your church if I didn't say anything. He said, Todd, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming. I'm like, oh, crap. I actually said crap. He said, I don't know what it is. He said, but I will tell you this. You will fortify, you will pull into God, and you will see this thing through. 2 months later, 3 months later, Darcy Fullerton is dead. An avalanche of what just happened here. But we were prepared. We were given that word. See, it works great when it's in submission to truth. We were prepared, and we fortified, and we rallied together. I tell you, we prayed, and we prayed, and we fasted, and we prayed. And we were still believing. You know what? Post 2 years. It's 2 years ago in 2 weeks. And you know what? 2 years later, we're saying, Jesus, do what you got to do in the midst of your people. Protect your people. Fortify your people. Strengthen your people in the storms of life so that they can handle, so they're not ruled by feelings. So we're not ruled by events. We're ruled by you. Worship team, would you come? Communion people, would you come? I'm just going to read this. Ruled by you. Jesus, we need to be ruled by you. That's one of the telltale signs that you know that you're maturing, is when you're being ruled by Jesus, you're not being ruled by feelings. Now, let me read this. We were never meant to trust our feelings. Ever. Ever. We need to obey Jesus. We need to develop disciplines and fortify and allow our feelings to be the color and the welcome companion in life. And as we mature, we learn to sharpen our tools, hone those things that we sense by yielding to God, submitting them to more mature people. This allows us for it to be a vital part in our church.
Thank you.
Stay with me here, church. Jesus wasn't executed on a cross because he felt like it. He didn't feel like dying on a cross. He didn't feel like taking the sin of the world. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'm sure he warred against his feelings. And he sweat like drops of blood because he knew that he was going to be executed, crucified, and take on the greatest agony that has ever been taken on in human history. That's not just dying on a cross. That's taking the contamination of a planet onto his body. That's what he did. And he didn't do it because he felt like it. He did it because it was right, because his Father asked him to, he agreed to, and it was to set you and me free. It was to set you and me free. We take time. We ponder, we think, we do inventory as always. Lord, am I letting feelings rule me? Am I ruled by my feelings or am I ruled by truth? Let Holy Spirit speak to you in your language, in your heart, as he wants to give us a new heart, always wants to give us a new heart, always wants us to do inventory, always wants us to run to him, run to him, run to him. We will be a strong church, not because we're a sensory church. We will be a strong church, not because we're a feeling church. We'll be a strong church because we're a following Christ church. And we'll love the color. And we'll love the color. We'll love the color. Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, the night his heart was broken, in the midst of his heart being broken, he did what was right. He took bread. He gave thanks to his Father, and he said, "This is my body. It's for you." Till all of time eternity, until I return, I want you to do this. I want you to remember what I did. We have open communion here. If you know Jesus, if you're a Christian, then this is wonderful. You're welcome to do it. If you don't, like I always say, it probably won't mean much. It'll be just religious obligation. But it could be the day that you surrender your life to Jesus, and then it'll mean something. He said, think of this, it's a metaphor, think of it as my body. It's going to be broken, and I'm doing it because I love you. Let's do it together. After dinner, he took the goblet, he took the cup of wine, and he said, this is a brand new plan, it's a brand new agreement between humanity and me. My blood is the only thing that can wash you. My blood will be the only thing that can cleanse you and wash you eternally. The blood of Jesus, the only thing. It isn't the latest psychotherapy. It isn't some hypnotic thing. What sets us free is the blood of Jesus. Applied. Sin. Apply the blood of Jesus. Ask for forgiveness, for when we come to God, we are asking for a sin nature. We give him our sin nature. And the blood washes. And then after we've given our lives to Jesus, then what we do is we give our daily mishaps, our daily sins, our daily bad behaviors, and we let them be washed by the blood of Jesus. This is simply metaphor.
the blood of Jesus can wash us and set us free. Let's partake together. Church, you're loved. Church, you're loved. There's lots of struggles in this room. I know many of them. Many I don't. But church, you're loved. Let's fortify in Jesus. Let's march forward in truth. Somebody say amen. Out of totally side note, but it's an announcement I want to mention before I pray. The Sylvan Lake Mass Choir is today, and it's at 3 o'clock. Pastor Tim is going to be the MC for that one, and it's at the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and I will be the MC for the 7 o'clock service. So you're more than welcome to come. Love to have you. And come and cheer and yell and scream. Well, maybe not there. Let's stand. Let's enjoy the Lord. Let's pray. Master, we love you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus, for these awesome people. We're on a journey. We're on a journey, Lord. We're all on a journey. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us the grace, Lord, to follow you, sometimes despite our circumstances and our feelings. Give us grace to follow you sometimes despite our circumstances and our feelings. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a fantastic day. And if you'd like some prayer, these altars are open. The prayer team would love to come and pray with you. So